Hi, it's Michael Sinoff here, and I'm the founder and developer of WeightedHands.com. I'm a busy professional, a husband, and a father of two young boys. I started making and using Weighted Hands because I wanted a way to burn a ton of calories in as little time as possible, but I didn't want to get injured doing it. I wanted to eat whatever I wanted without feeling hungry or deprived, and I wanted to be able to maintain my weight. I wanted a low-impact workout so I could save my knees for later. A workout that required no gym memberships, no stair climbers, no treadmills, no ellipticals. I wanted something that feels easy, but to get my heart rate high enough for ongoing conditioning. Well, you're in luck because many of my buying customers have been using Heavy Hands for over 20 years, and they've been generous enough to share their personal stories with you. You'll hear me interview them on how they got started walking with Heavy Hand weights, what it did for their bodies, both in terms of musculature and weight reduction. You'll also learn about their favorite workouts, tips and tricks to burn the most amount of calories in the fastest time possible. So enjoy the interview. Now let's get going.
Hello.
Zane, how was your Heavy Hands workout today?
It was pretty good this morning. I was kind of surprised. I do it 6 days and I take Sundays off. You know, I was kind of dragging at the end of the week with those 14-pounders. I just noticed that my movements weren't crisp. You know what I'm talking about. Got a good day, and, man, you can really put it out when you're snapping those movements around. And the next day, maybe not so well, but it was a good day. It's about 80-some degrees here, but you know all about that from where you're at.
I do. Well, tell me, how long have you been doing Heavy Hands?
I bought the book from Walden Bookstore. It was right after it came out. So, well, I want to say 78, 79.
Uh-huh. What were you doing for exercise at that time?
When I was 18 years old, I started as a young Marine into weight training and bodybuilding because it just made the job easier. And when I got out of the service, I became a professional firefighter. And firefighting is not an aerobic activity. I ran for a while and was in really good aerobic shape, but on the fire ground, doing the job, wearing all the gear, which, you know, with an air pack ends up being about 67 pounds, it wasn't cutting the mustard because you probably know that firefighting, it's HIIT training is what it is, Michael. You do short bursts of energy, rest for a minute or two, and do some more. So I realized that resistance training was the answer for me. And I'd been doing that for quite some time before Heavy Hands come along, and that seemed to be the perfect combination of what I wanted. So AMF Company, you remember, they had the rights and the patent, so I ordered a whole big box of Heavy Hands and handles. So I had 5s, 6s, 7s, 8s, 9s, and 10s, complete sets, and several handles, and they even sent reinforced plastic straps to put over the handle so it wouldn't round on you, you know, with all that torque. So that's what I've been using the whole time, except for these ones that I have now. I have a friend who's really a good welder, and he took some of those 6s and 7s, and he welded them together, and I didn't know what I was going to end up with, but when I put them on the handle and weighed them, they weighed in at 14.
Oh, so you took a number 6 and a number 7 and welded them together.
Yeah, it was a hybrid. I didn't know what I was going to end up with. Here's the deal. When the diameter of the plates that screw onto the handles increase, it would keep me from being able to cross my arms across my chest because I'd be banging the weights. So I wanted to keep the same diameter, Mike, and just elongate them. And that works fine to a certain extent, but once you get up to a certain weight, then it becomes kind of onerous too because it wants to turn your wrist over.
I understand.
So that's what I've been using. I've used 6s, and I use 10s, and I use 14s. Depends on the day, buddy, how fast I want to go, or if I want to stay inside. I'm almost flat-footed. I mean, I'm doing knee dips, just like you demonstrate with the shadow boxing and all that. I even perfected it to 50 to 100 jabs, pretty much straight-arm jabs, and then followed by 50 to 100 uppercuts only, because it just causes you to dip to the side and really put a lot of torso into it. And then maybe another 50, and I just switch back and forth of just plain hooks, you know, hooks to the body without any extension on the elbow at all. So I just made up my stuff. I'm sure that you being a heavy hander, sometimes you just come up with a good movement.
Yeah, there's a lot of variety because your arms can move so many different ways, and your imagination can take over. You can do whatever you want.
Sure, it's open-ended.
What did you notice after you started with heavy hands back in the late 70s?
Well, the first thing I noticed was that even though I had aerobic power in the lower half of my body, I had no aerobic power in the upper part of my body. And back then, you know, other than cross-country skiers, there were no ellipticals. So the only one that had an advantage with upper body were people that swam. But I noticed that people that swam, some say it's the seal effect of being in different temperature of water, even though they swam and they were super athletic, they developed a pretty good fat pad. I put that down to the body adapting to insulation when it came to the water. So I didn't like that. I didn't like the effect that they got from the work. Gee whiz, Mike, if I'm going to work this hard, I want some muscle back. I want to be ripped, or I want some good muscular development from my work. And Dr. Schwartz just epitomized that. So that's really what got me going, because it was a nice blending of resistance exercise and aerobic exercise at the same time.
So what does a typical workout look like for you?
Well, I have a couple movements that probably you may understand them. I don't know whether anybody else would or not. I have four movements that I use with the heaviest heavy hands that I have. And I start out with a pump and walk, and I throw kind of a swagger into that because I'm moving so much weight. I'm not going fast. I'm not going for distance, Michael. I'm going for time. And my time element that I've set for myself is 1 hour. So I have a countdown timer watch. It's on 30 minutes. I punch it, and I don't care how fast I'm moving along the ground, as long as I'm doing the appropriate amount of work while I'm doing it. And at 30 minutes, when that puppy beeps, I immediately turn around and head for home. I've ran into problems before, just sheer exhaustion, buddy, when I push the clock a little bit when I wasn't ready to push the clock. So I start out with a pump and walk.
How high are you pumping? Are you going to level 1, 2, 3? Are you mixing it up?
I'm going to 2 because I don't want to wear myself out for the other movements. So my hands come pretty close to my jaws, but I don't go top of head high. Not yet. And I do 50. I count on one side, buddy. Every time my left foot hits the ground, I count. When I get to 50, I immediately change over to my next movement, where I bring the heavy hands from my side and slight behind me forward, and I cross them with a real hard pectoral squeeze. And I do that for 50 reps. You know, with a little bit of mind-muscle connection, you know, a little concentration, you can make that really hurt you. Then I go 50 reps that way. And then I immediately go into side dumbbell lateral raises like you do in a gym to work your deltoid. And I only get maybe 10 or 12 of those because 14 pounds is still 14 pounds. Then I go into a double ski. And I don't bend over like I do with my lighter ones to the point where I can almost touch my ankles. I don't do that. It's kind of a modified bend forward because the torque of both of those 14-pounders coming from behind kind of pull me a little bit down the road, if you know what I mean.
I do.
And I don't want to get off that.
Very good. And tell us, how old are you?
I am 70. I'm going to be 71 July the 2nd.
That is incredible. And have you been able to keep your weight down and keep your body in incredible shape?
You know, the side benefit from this, buddy, is the fact that, you know, if you do it, you're going to get ripped. It's a no-brainer. I was exposed to Agent Orange when I was in Vietnam as a young Marine. And 50 years later, I'm suddenly diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and I've never been obese and never had it in my family. So I was just shocked out of my mind, and then I found out that I was in a heavy exposure area, and as far as the Marine Corps was concerned, that's what caused my diabetes. I get a disability. But it doesn't make any difference, Michael. I still got the disease. So I changed to a low-carb, high-fat, moderate-protein diet, and I put away the bread and the pasta and all the macaroni and cheese and all the comfort foods. I just pushed them aside because this is on me, buddy. No one's going to do anything for me except give me insulin shots, which will make my condition worse because insulin is the primary fat storage hormone of the body.
Have you been able to control your A1C without any insulin and exercise?
Yeah, got it down to 5.8. As far as my doctor's concerned, he's tickled to death. He says, as far as I'm concerned, if I was measuring you today, I would measure you as a non-diabetic.
Did you ever do insulin?
No.
How did you get diagnosed? What telltale signs warned you?
Well, my blood sugars were up. It was really the difference between two normal physicals 6 months apart, and all of a sudden, in that period of time, my blood sugar was up. It wasn't up to the ceiling, but it was up. And my doctor, he's a young guy, and he likes to keep a close pinch on his patients, and he said, I'm going to send you for a blood glucose test, and we're going to find out. And when I came back, I was disbelieving, Michael. I've never been obese. I've been a lot more muscular than I am now, and, you know, I just don't have it in my family. So you can imagine it was just a shock.
I'm sure it was.
So I'm a man of faith, and I prayed about it, and I just knew that this was on me, that nobody was going to do anything for me that I needed to do, and I had the knowledge. And, you know, I got on the Internet, and I got a lot more knowledge, and I read the science, and I found out that a paleo-type diet, same diet our ancestors lived on, ended up being a real functional way not only to lose body fat, but for you and me, I don't care about losing weight. What I care about is losing body fat.
That's right.
That's what I want. I want thin skin. I want abs. I want definition in my body. If I weigh 300 pounds, I don't care as long as I have those things. So that's what kind of spurred me on. And I got a whole gym in my basement, Michael. You could come to my basement and work out. I mean, I've got a leverage machine. I've got dumbbells. I've got tons of weight. You could do as good a workout at my Y as you could do at my YMCA right in my basement. So, you know, I'm just leaning toward heavy camp. I've been off and on several years, but when I come back to it, I'm always happy about it. And I just feel like I've done something. There's a sense of accomplishment psychologically when I get done with that hour.
For more great interviews like this, go to Michael Senoff's weightedhands.com.
And it's nice to get outside, too, and work.
It is.
Just to get out and walk the street.
The stimulus, the birds, the air, the heat. I'm out in it every day. And you being San Diego, you know, you got to get acclimated to the heat. I don't want to make excuses. If it's raining, I'll still go. If it's thunderstorming, I won't. Those are my simple rules, and that's what I try to do. And I don't know what I'm going to hope to accomplish, Mike. You know, at my age, I'm just trying to keep up with the status quo, buddy, so I'm a functional physical body.
You're an inspiration. I mean, you're going to be 71, and you're still out there hitting it. That's fantastic.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. You know, when you always do things, and then all of a sudden your age creeps up on you, and you're still doing them, and people compliment you on doing them, you think to yourself, well, geez, it's not that big a thing. I've been doing this since I was a kid. The secret, Michael, if I was to give any advice, is be consistent and never stop. Don't stop, because it's so hard to get stuff back once you lose it.
That's right. What would you say, what advantage is there, let's say if you compare just a bodybuilder or someone who's doing just weights compared to the combination of heavy hands with heavier weights, you know, 10 pounds and plus? How does aerobic conditioning come into play in combination with the extra weight? What advantage does someone have?
Oh, I think it's much more, particularly for work endurance, you know, things that you just have to do around the house or on your job or whatever it is. And what I have found out, though, depending on the movements you pick. Now, if you pick a movement that's going to affect your outer deltoids, the cap on your shoulder, like walking down the street and doing dumbbell lateral raises, you're going to get some development there. So what I believe, at least I've seen on myself, is you're a smaller version of a bodybuilder. You end up having a lot of muscular development, but it's a different form. I mean, you can develop an awful impressive physique by working out with heavy, and when I say heavy, I mean 10 pounds at least, heavy hands, at least I can, and still get that effect, even though it's aerobic and not anaerobic in nature. Hey, listen, buddy, it's still time under tension. Time under tension is the key. I've been in gyms and I've seen guys that were skinny and super strong, And then I've seen guys that were really, really well-developed. And the difference in them doing a bench press is the difference between night and day. One guy didn't lock out. He kept constant tension on the pectoral muscles while he was doing the movement. He got so much more out of the movement than the guy who was trying to push toward 300 pounds. Now, was he as strong as the skinny little dude benching three? No, he wasn't. But, boy, I'll tell you, he sure did look like it. Gee, in the Marine Corps, I ran two gyms. I managed two gyms. So I've trained a lot of guys, seen a lot of guys train. And I think when you heavy hand out on the street and you slowly work up to those heavy, maybe you don't need to do them all the time, but I don't. It's got a real small injury threshold. You probably know that. And if one eases into it, and just by virtue of your heart and lungs, they kind of keep whatever weight you're using regulated. I mean, at some point, you're going to end up swinging those instead of using them effectively. And if you back off and get into the muscular movement itself and concentrate on what you're doing and get a little mind-muscle connection, I found the difference between night and day. And I don't have to go fast, buddy. Like I said, I'm not.
No, as a matter of fact, I tell people the slower you go, the better the workout is, because you're under more tension and you're not using the forces of momentum and gravity. When you're swinging them, you're cheating a little bit in a way.
Oh, yeah. And I've seen guys that cheated a lot on that. Dr. Schwartz called it slow aerobics. He was right. I can't think of a better way to describe at least what I'm doing out there. And you know something, Michael, to be honest with you, there are days when there are swings.
Yeah.
I'm not on, and I'm just trying to get through the workout, and I'm just trying to get through the movement. Mm-hmm. But by far and large, I realize going out that I'm not going to get the benefits. If I'm going to put out all the energy it takes for an hour in the heat, pumping and walking down the sidewalk, people looking at me wondering, what the heck is that guy doing?
Yeah.
You know, they've never seen anything like it. Now they're kind of used to it out here where I live.
Dogs go crazy over it. Do you get the dogs barking at you?
No, I don't. Not on the course that I walk now. But I tell people in cars, I said, whatever you do, don't hit me because I will total you out.
Let me ask you, you're a guy who's working with heavier weights. Now, Schwartz, when he came out, he had the little handles at 1 pound, 2 pounds, you know, 3 pounds. That's mainly what he was pushing. When I started with that, I realized that I just wasn't getting enough of a workout. I mean, what was your feeling on why he was pushing the lower weights? And what I felt was, if you're going to get some benefit from the 1 and 2 pounds, you have to go to a number 3 pump over your head, and you got to go very rapidly. And I felt like most people would never do that because you look more silly and it's hard.
It is. You just said it. It's incredibly hard. And I would ask you something back, Mike. Mm-hmm. Look at the physical condition of the people around you. You can see that there are men out there that 3 pounds would just literally put them on their face. Now, I think our late great mentor was not much of a marketer when it came to that kind of stuff, but mm-hmm. I think he tried to appeal to that lower weight in an effort to get some people interested that would keep doing it. But I'm like you. I have done the 3-4 pound level 3 hell bent for election. I didn't enjoy that at all. That was tough. But I have enough of a strength background, and there's a lot of guys that probably do, that my starting weight was 5 pounds. And I jumped really fast because I had this background, and it wasn't more than a week or two, and I was at 6 pounds. And there was one of them I didn't have in between, so I went out and bought a 1 pound set of wrist weights, buddy.
Okay, there you go.
And I kept the same weight, but I just upped it a pound. And gee whiz, I don't think I really got stuck to where I had to work until I got up to 9 pounders. Mm. Making that jump, well, you know this, jumping from 1 pound to 2 pounds, or let's just say 8 pounds to 9 pounds, that's like putting another 25-pound plate on a bench press bar in the kind of stuff we're doing. It doesn't take much to give you an effect. And if it doesn't give you an effect in all of your movements, it will in some of them. Just like I told you, I can do 50 reps in all my movements. But boy, when it comes to dumbbell lateral side raises, when I throw those in the mix, my reps drop down to maybe 12. But that's okay. I don't care. It's going to climb. And God willing, I'm just going to keep right on going. And that's what I do. But I believe that there has to be some weight to it, particularly if you're going like you're talking about. You're slowing down. Okay, let's start moving a little iron here, because people think that it's going to be about lactic acid burn, and you and I know it's not. That's in the gym. That's aerobic work. That's going to cause the burn. That's going to cause the lactic acid buildup, because that's what it's supposed to when you're in the gym. You do aerobics, that lactic acid is washed away the fact that you're using so much oxygen. So I never have a bicep burn when I'm out pumping and walking. Do you?
No.
I just don't. If I was to take those same weights and go in the gym and do 5 sets of 50 reps, geez, I'd be dying by the time I got done with those, Mike. I'd be burning so bad. So, yeah, I'm kind of like you. I think if somebody came to me and I was in the position you're in, and they wanted little one-pound weights, and your handles weigh, what, 1.5 pounds?
Yeah, my ergo handles are 1.5 pounds.
Okay. I think they're going to be dissatisfied. I would think that they needed to go up a couple of pounds. They can't afford to do that. I was recommending to my daughter when she was interested in this, and I said, baby, don't get any less than 2 pounds, because you're going to come up short. Even though it's hard now, give your body time to adjust to it, stay consistent with it, and you're not going to waste the money on that 2 pound weight set when you're going to adapt to 3 before you realize
it. Before you know it. Did she get into it, your daughter?
A little while, but her work got in the way and she couldn't do that.
I see.
I think I'm the only one in my whole town that's crazy enough to do this, Michael.
Yeah, I know. All right, one more question for the listeners who are going to hear this. What advice would you have for someone who's just starting out and just learned about heavy hands based on your experience?
Well, if I was a man, I'd buy at least 3 pound, maybe even 4 pound heavy hands if I didn't have any. And I would pump and walk to level 2. And I would tell people, this is what you need to do. You can do it in place. That's boring as all get out. Get out and walk on the street. Don't swing them. I've seen people, they're swinging them out in front. They're doing that front deltoid raise. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Bend the elbow. Use your brachialis, that big muscle underneath your bicep, same muscle you would use if you were standing still in a gym and doing hammer curls. Take advantage of your forearm and that big muscle underneath your bicep, the brachialis, because that's in essence what you're using. And don't get crazy. Get the groove down to where this becomes really natural for you to pump and walk. I was trying to train a lady one time. I'm going to tell you, buddy, it was the most frustrating day of my life. First of all, when her right arm came up, her right foot went forward. She was the most uncoordinated, and I said, wait a minute, stop. And I asked her to put him down. I said, walk around the gym here and just swing your arms like you normally do. But when I put the strap weights on her, she could not get her mind-mental coordination down.
I remember first starting. It does take a little bit of coordination, and it took a little bit for some people. I understand it is hard for people to get that. I tell them to walk with attitude.
Yeah, with these 14-pounders, when I tell you I'm swaggering, that's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah, you swagger.
To stop the torque, I have to lean to the right into the movement when the right arm comes up, and I have to lean to the left to get to use all of that extra muscle to help you move that weight. And heck, that's why we're doing this.
That's right. Well, I appreciate you sharing your story with the listeners. I think it's important for people to hear who have never heard about heavy hands, how you got some old-time heavy handers like yourself, and you're an inspiration. You're a star. That is fantastic.
And thank you for being a brother.
Yeah, thank you, Zane. It was really nice talking to you, and thanks for sharing your story. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's the end of our interview. I hope you've enjoyed it. For more great interviews and stories like this, go to Michael Senoff's weightedhands.com.